ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I was like, man, you know the Magnetic Fields wrote that song? He's like, no, man, it's Peter Gabriel. And I was like, nah, dude. I was like, seriously, it's Magnetic Fields. He's like, no. Come on.
If you've ever wondered what it's like to grow up in a famous musical family, that's a taste. Katie Steele has always been surrounded by music. Her brothers came up with the Sleepy Jackson and Empire of the Sun, and her dad was a legendary blues guitarist around Perth. But Katie made her own mark more than 20 years ago when she burst out as the songwriter and frontwoman of Little Birdie. Yeah. With her soaring voice and knack for writing catchy pop songs, their debut album made a huge mark on Australian music. And now they're reuniting to play that record in full for the first time in yonks. It was the catalyst to ask Katie in to Take Five. And given the long time between drinks, I asked her what it's been like to time travel in the lead up to the reunion.
I've just kind of been trying to celebrate it in my head. It's kind of like, you know, you see like comments and it's like, oh my God, I can't believe how old we are. And I'm like, man, I'm happy we're still here. I'm trying to think of it positively and I'm proud of it. You know, like, you know, the songs were written, they were like the first songs I ever wrote. Like I've been pretty honest about all that, about, you know, I was super young. So it's kind of cool to just honour that, and as a woman that's older now, I kind of think, well, just celebrate it and be proud of it. That's where my head's at with it.
Yeah, well, that legacy is huge, and so many people are going to be so excited to see you guys perform these songs in the full album format. But also for you going back, I mean, when the tour was announced, you said the songs felt as real as when you first wrote them. Does music have that kind of muscle memory for you? Do you still feel that very tangible sense of going back to that young Katie who wrote these songs?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's just all, it's kind of, you know, like if you're kind of born with that, you know, that feeling that you have. I mean, you spend your whole life chasing that feeling and you never want to not do it, you know. Yeah, there's nothing really to describe it. I mean, obviously the business side of things that you do during the day, like that all sucks. You know, like the admin and the stuff that you have to do is part of the job. But when you get on that stage, you forget about everything and it's kind of, you're out of your body. And it's cool to celebrate those songs because they were written, you know, at a time when I was really young and, you know, we just became a band and it was our first record and, you know, there was so much going on. I'm super excited just to celebrate that, I guess.
I'm really excited about hearing why you chose these next five songs. I can tell and I know from our past conversations that you're a huge music fan. You come from a very musical family as well. And I've given you the theme today of breakout songs. I wanted to kind of, I guess, go to those tunes that helped you forge your own path, that have fired you up and inspired you as a songwriter through your whole life, really, to break out and give it a shot. And your first choice is a classic, an amazing song from the legendary Odetta.
Bring me silver, did you bring me gold? Did you come to see me hang on a gallows pole?
Actually, a centuries-old folk song called Gallows Pole that she recorded, I think, in 1960. Why did you choose this song?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say how hard this was to pick five songs. I found this really hard. But the reason I picked this song was after the second record, Hollywood, we kind of had a bit of a break and Paul Kelly asked me to support him at some theatre shows. Like these were like, you know, a couple of thousand and it was solo. And I'd always wanted to kind of do the solo thing, but do it like really well and, you know, get up there with just the guitar and the voice and just, you know, your songs and that whole philosophy of like, you've got 3 minutes to tell your story. It's like, you know, you get up there and you just nail it and you're this solo, powerful, strong woman. And I just remember I heard that Odetta song around that time, and it just inspired me in so many ways. Just her voice and just kind of what it meant to me at that time, like the song. So the songs that I ended up writing for that tour were all the songs that became Confetti. So they were all kind of written, you know, on the acoustic or on the piano, and they were just kind of all derived from that place of, okay, you know, this has, you've got like 3 minutes, like you've only got your voice and your instrument, like what are you trying to say? And so, yeah, this song just really kind of spoke to me at that point in my life.
She really does capture, like you say, it's an old folk song and this huge story, but the way that she delivers it with everything that she does, the way she uses her voice, there's literally the soul in it. I know that back in the day, Bob Dylan and Joan Baez and Janis Joplin all cited her as a huge influence in their early days. Did you see that very specifically in her, just her ability to tell a story so impactfully in such a short amount of time?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me as well, because like I grew up on blues, like I grew up on Dylan, like my dad was a blues musician. And I think for me, just kind of hearing her sing and me finding it myself, like no one was kind of, I didn't grow up on it. I just kind of discovered it myself. I think for me at that time was like really important as well. Like it spoke to me and it was kind of like, this is my song, man. And this is like, this artist is just... it just really just spoke to me, and I think that there's just such a power in her voice, and it's a centuries old, like there's history in her voice, and it kind of moves mountains, you know, when people use their voice like that. It's just the most powerful, amazing thing.
Well, hangin' for a while, see my father coming. But did you bring me silver? Did you bring me gold? Did you come to see me hang out a gallows pole? I didn't bring no silver. Didn't bring no gold. Come to see you hang out a gallows pole.
I want to hang around on stage as well with your choice that you're going to next. Going back to back with live music, I love this because you've chosen an incredible vocalist, but covering, like Odetta, someone else's song, The Magnetic Fields and their beautiful tune, The Book of Love.
And you
first, I want to ask, did you know the original and before you heard the cover that Peter did?
this is what's funny about this. So I did not know that, and I did not know this song. This song was played for me at my wedding in New Zealand by my brother Luke.
Aww.
I had no idea that I'd never heard this song. He got up and he played this song, and it was phenomenal. He had this really cool like vocal pedal on his voice, and he just, you know, the way he does, he just kind of made it his own. And I just, you know, obviously it's etched in my memory as just such a special song to me. And it was funny because, you know, I was like, man, what is this song? It's phenomenal. Like, he's like, it's Peter Gabriel, man. And then I kind of Googled it and was like, listened to it like the next day, and I was like, man, you know The Magnetic Fields wrote that song? He's like, no, man, it's Peter Gabriel. And I was like, nah, dude. I was like, seriously, it's Magnetic Fields. He's like, no. And so he, I still to this day think he doesn't believe me that The Magnetic Fields actually wrote it.
You can read me anything.
I think the Peter Gabriel version, though, is just, it's just, I don't know, man, it's just, it's something about, there's just such a beautiful kind of, I mean, obviously it was sung at my wedding, and it just kind of made me think, like, when someone plays a song for you and picks a song for you, it's such a gift, and it's, music is just, it's the biggest gift, and it's just so powerful, and it's so moving, and it's so important. And I'll just never kind of forget that, you know, that the beauty of that. And I always want to bring that through in my music, you know.
Do you see songwriting as a gift? It's something that comes from you, but do you think about it as something that you're giving to others?
I mean, I've never thought about it like that, like, because I don't think I've got that much of an ego. Like, I'm actually, deep down, I'm quite humble.
You sound very Australian.
Do I? Yeah. But, you know, like, I think that I've, you know, like, after speaking to lots of fans over the years and stuff, I think it is. I'll never think of, like, I don't think about myself being that way, but I think it's a gift being able to express yourself when you can write a song, which is how I fell into it. You know, I literally was, you know, 18 years old and had a piano in my room, and this stuff just kind of started falling out of my mouth, and that became songs, and it was expression. So if it wasn't music, it might have been art or whatever, sculpture. I just kind of feel like, you know, there's certain people that just need to express themselves, and it's if you can find the right art form, maybe. I don't know. I just, that makes sense.
You had a compulsion to create.
Yeah, yeah.
The lyrics on this are so beautiful. There's something really childlike about the Book of Love, but also very sincere. Like, it's not silly or naive. It's incredibly sincere, this song.
Yeah, I can't really put into words. It's just one of those songs that, yeah, it's just really special, I guess, to me. And, yeah, the importance of when you marry someone and... yeah, the significance of someone singing that for you and giving you their gift of song.
The Book of Love is long and boring and written very long ago. It's full of flowers and heart-shaped boxes and things we're all too young to know. I love it when you give me things, and you want to give me wedding rings.
You sort of mentioned about that compulsion to create, Katie, in those very early days, sitting down at the piano and feeling them just fall out of you. Even before Little Birdie, were you performing in clubs and writing songs? Were you doing it on your own before you found a band?
No, I only had one band before Little Birdie, and that was a duo where I was working with this guy called Mikey, and he was kind of writing like backing tracks and I was kind of writing the top line. So, you know, back when no one did that, now it's like a thing. That's how everyone writes songs now. But, yeah, it was kind of like a trip-hoppy kind of, you know, duo, and that was called The Plastic Scene. But yeah, it became pretty clear that like we had different kind of ideas on what we wanted, you know, and I was really driven, and I still am. Like, I'm a super driven person, and yeah, he kind of wasn't on the same kind of level, I guess.
So when you found your Little Birdie bandmates, was it about you going out and saying, hey, this is what I want, are you going to join my team?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So Simon was, I think Simon actually saw me sing at Luke's 21st because we always had big parties in our backyard in the family home. We've got like a huge backyard and we always had like crazy parties and we'd always set up a stage and everyone would always, you know, play. Sorry, neighbours.
The Steels are partying again.
Seriously, we've had some amazing parties. And, yeah, I think it was Luke's 21st and I got up and sung, and I think all the guys from, like, Jebediah and Eskimo Joe and stuff were there, and I think I sung, like, one song that night, and Simon was friends with all those guys and with Luke, and he came up and he was like, hey, do you want to do some music? And that kind of started our connection, and then he was playing drums at the start. He was like, let's do, like, a White Stripes thing, and I was like, nah, man. We did one gig like that. And then Barney was in the audience who came up and said, do you want a bass player? And I was like, yeah. Simon's like, no. And I'm like, yes. So I was like, yeah, man, you're in the band. Like, it was literally like this just happened, you know. It's I feel like this stuff doesn't happen anymore because of social media. Everything's so kind of online. But, you know, I think back in the day you really had to kind of like, you know, go out and communicate and just kind of put yourself out there a bit more. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I sound old and jaded, but that's kind of just, you know, that thing where you just kind of just make it happen. Just, you know, catch up, do it. And then Simon moved on to guitar because that was his main instrument, and we basically got Maddie Checker came in like a week later.
And it was all on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, at the time, was a couple of your brothers, Luke and was it Jesse, they were playing in the Sleepy Jackson? Was that the same sort of time? They already had that going?
Yeah, I think by this time Jesse had moved on. He was in the earlier band, which was called O'Hara Saloon. He was playing in Sleepy Jackson for a while, and then I think Luke fired him, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes in that band over many, many years.
Yeah.
But did it feel like, I mean, having, you know, a family who are already playing music, you mentioned you've got Eskimo Joe and Jebediah in the backyard at Luke's 21st. It feels like a very supportive environment to just get up and play. Like, did you feel like you were very, you know, there were people backing you and encouraging you to give it a go, to keep going and sing out loud?
Yeah, totally. I think it was just the life that I was brought up in, you know, there was always music. You know, Luke used to get me into like the local clubs and stuff underage, and I'd just be like, hey, I was like 15. Like, my mum was a good mum, don't worry. Like, she knew where I was. It sounds really bad. But yeah, I was just kind of hanging out and soaking it all up, and I was just getting my internship, I guess, like into growing up. Like, I grew up like really quick, you know. Like, when I was 18, I was like more like a 21-year-old, you know. In some ways, I just kind of swallowed it all up and just kind of went for it, man.
I love it. I love that energy. Well, we're 21 years on from your debut record. That's the kind of catalyst for doing this take five as we wander through your breakout songs. And yeah, I was really interested to see that it wasn't necessarily about the songs that were there before you began at all, but I could tell from the way that they fell that this was going to be a collection of music that had landed in all different spots of your life. Case in point, the next song that you've chosen, a tune that came out just last year from an incredible songwriter called Adrian Lenker, Sadness as a Gift.
Leaning on the windowsill, you could write me someday and I think you will. We could see the sadness as a gift and still feel too heavy to hold.
Why did you choose this song, Katie?
So when I first heard this record, it just struck me as being so raw and not perfect, and it made me realise that nothing is perfect, and that's what I love so much about this record. I miss the days, I miss the artists that don't use autotune and record things live, and, you know, her voice, you know, cracks and you can kind of hear stuff happening in the background, and I don't know, there's something about this record and her voice and just how she's innately her, like, which just inspired me so much last year, because I think I've been going through a lot of growth. There's been so much happening in my life. I'm sure there's stuff happening every day in everyone else's lives, but, you know, it's like there's a lot happening. A lot of growth has been kind of showing, and like this record just kind of came to me at a time where I was like, man, I've got to rediscover like who I am as an artist, and she is really speaking to me right now because it's innately her, and I think I have the same type of, you know, not to sound up myself, but I have the same uniqueness in the way that I do things my own way. I have my own way of writing, and I have my own, my voice is different, and, you know, I do have a story that I can tell, and it was just kind of about honouring that and kind of saying, you're an artist, be proud of that, do it, just do it well, be true to yourself. And I think that, yeah, it's just the the imperfection in this record, and especially this song, just really spoke to me and kind of just kind of urged me on to be more me, I guess.
Yeah, there's an honesty in it, isn't it, the way that it sounds? She's obviously an incredible songwriter as well, but just thinking about that, when I hear Adrienne, it sounds, you know, like nothing else, and it's very distinctly her through her work with Big Thief and also solo. When I hear you, there's no one that sounds like Katie Steele. You are a voice that stands alone for very good reason, and you should be proud of that. It's not up yourself. Also, deeply Australian thing to say. You're not up yourself. It's nice to own that. It's nice to hear you be comfortable with owning that as well.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't want to sound like a dickhead, do you? Really? No, but you know what? It's like I'm old enough now to, like, I also don't give a shit as well, because I kind of feel like you get to a certain age and you really do stop caring, and you do get to know yourself, you know, as an older woman, and it's like, yeah, you have to kind of just honor like what you've done in your past and what you want to say. And I guess, yeah, kind of me stepping into that role, that's the plan for my new music, which I've really been working on, like, at the start of this year. It's just really, really honouring that, especially being a mother now and the challenges that you have, and you know, life is full on, man. And, yeah, just try and tap into that and try and tell my story as honestly as I can moving forward, you know.
Snow falling, I try to keep from calling. Watch the spring turn to winter, fireflies all frozen. The seasons go so fast, thinking that this one was gonna last. Maybe the question was too much to ask.
Just thinking about that kind of folk sound, was folk music a really big part of your musical education when you were a little kid?
I would say blues and country was more, you know, more kind of present. But yeah, there was a little bit of folk. My mum used to crank Joan Baez, I think, a little bit. She's probably the most cliche folk artist you can imagine, but
you know, for a reason. It's good for a reason.
You're phenomenal. Phenomenal. But yeah, my husband's actually introduced me to some really cool folk that I'd never heard. So that's, I didn't grow up on a lot of it, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, blues was a big part of your life, as you mentioned. Your dad was a big blues player all around town. Tell me about your dad, Rick.
Yeah, well, he sadly left the earth about 11 weeks ago now. So I wanted to honour him and play a song today. He had a pretty crazy, pretty interesting life. I guess he was a full-time musician his whole life, grew up in New Zealand and had quite a bit of success over there. I then moved to Perth and met my mum and had a family over here and kind of just became like a local blues dude. And the song that I picked for today is a song called Dynala, which I actually covered as well. And it's a phenomenal song. It's kind of sums up his life in a lot of ways, because he spent a lot of time in pubs. My mum used to call him the preacher in the pub, because mm-hmm. he always had an ear for anyone that was down and out, would basically give his last $50 to someone if they needed it. So he was always kind of there to help the common man. Yeah, I guess this song is, I don't know, like, my brother Luke actually produced this version of this track, and I don't know, it kind of just reminds me of like a Springsteen song, the way he's kind of recorded it, but it's kind of written about, you know, the night, just one night down at the pub, and, you know, they got the skimpies on in the corner, and he's, you know, having a having a MIDI and just kind of trying to like understand life. And I think that, you know, it's pretty relatable, really.
Cause no one's asking questions about problems that they just don't understand. Me, I'm in the corner, getting drunk in the storm. Now the wind is coming. I'm still here, closing time. Well, I got myself just on the slide, I was thinking, and I just can't seem to drink you off my mind.
There's been a whole lot of life in the 20 years since Big Big Love came out. It's been a couple more Little Birdie albums, two solo albums for you. And are you sort of coming back to these reunion shows with that full bedrock of two decades of experiences? Do you feel like you're going to be performing these songs with a bit of a different foundation than when you first performed them all those years ago?
Oh, yeah. I think so, yeah. I think there's some history there now, because I haven't really stopped working really, you know, in that whole time. I've had two children, and even, you know, after the birth of Margot, who's now three, I played a show 5 weeks after she was born.
Hardcore.
Yeah, it's kind of just, you know, I'm kind of built for it. This is what I do. This is who I am. And yeah, and I think that, yeah, like I said at the start, like I just feel like it's a celebration. You know, I am hoping that we can get another record happening with the band. I think.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that we should. I think that it's time. It's time to do it. I want it to be obviously pretty amazing though. I don't want to put any old shite out. So.
She has high standards. But this would be an incredible return, 15 years after your last record, Little Birdie, coming back, and this is the dream for you. I love this.
Yeah, I think you got to wait for the good things, and you kind of have to trust your gut with your timing, and I think the timing feels really right. I feel like as an artist, I think I know what I want now, finally, after all these years. I finally know what I want.
Stars, they come and go. They come fast, they come slow. They go like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze.
Your final song is a big one. It captures everything about fame, the good, the bad, the ugly. It is an iconic moment from Janis Ian. You've chosen Stars. Why did you choose this song?
Well, again, this is another song that I don't remember finding this song. It just appeared to me. Like, I remember, I think I must have just been listening to her other songs, which I think I was reading about her writing, like, 17, when she was, like, 15 years old. And I would just remember tripping out and thinking, how could someone that young write such a phenomenal song? And then I must have just stumbled upon this song. And I'm pretty sure I found this song when I was living in New York, and the lyrics just, oh my God, just spoke to me and just went inside me, because I just connected so much with, you know, what she was talking about with being young and kind of having fame at an early age, which I just could relate to so much. And I guess the fakeness of the industry and not really knowing who to trust. And I've actually written a song called Stars, which is, I'm really going to change the title. but it's basically about the same thing. Like, it just inspired me so much, this song, because it, It's not a negative song. It's just kind of her expressing what she went through, and I just love it how it just keeps going and going. It's like 7 minutes long, and it's like just tell your story, man. Tell it all, and it's warts and all, and it's just such a phenomenal song. I could listen to it every day.
It's really interesting to think about, like, more and more it feels like artists, particularly female artists, but artists in general, are being more honest with the realities of what it is to be a musician, talking about the negative sides of it in a way that I haven't seen happen en masse before, because often people will be like, why are you complaining? You're famous. You get all this. It's a great life. But this is a song that came out decades ago, and she was so honest. And it, like you say, she's talking about the full gamut, the highs and the lows, but the reality, the brutal reality of it. And it's just so refreshing to hear that honesty. And people loved her for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I actually haven't listened to like her whole catalog. Like, I've heard this song, and I've heard 17 and maybe a few others. And so I don't know a lot about her, but this song has just always been with me since being in America, and I just think it's so, yeah, profound. The way she kind of talks about body image, and you know, some people want to show their bodies and some people don't, and you know, I'll find my own way. I can't remember what the line is she said.
I'll come up singing for you, even when I'm down.
I'll come up singing for you even when I'm down. And it's just it's what you do when you're an artist. You always pull yourself up and keep going.
It's such a beautiful line. And I feel like it's not just about singing for you, the listener, but it's for the self. Do you feel that same compulsion no matter what?
Yeah, totally. I think that it's so cathartic, you know, when you write songs about, you know, real things that affect you, which in my case, they're always real, because there's nothing calculated about, like, when I'm writing songs. I can't do the whole calculated thing. It's just not for me. I've tried co-writing, and I can kind of do it on the periphery, but, you know, when I'm writing my own music, it's so organic, and you're kind of preempting things in your life, really, like with your songs, I find. Sometimes I'll write something and then, like, a month later I'll be like, oh, that's what that was about. I was processing that, and I'm like a sponge, you know. And so when you do get on stage, you just lock in, and, it's the positives outweigh the negatives, you know, always. We're so lucky. I'm so lucky to be able to do what I do. But it does take a type of person, you know, to do it. So you kind of have to honour that, you know.
Well, this song captures it all and more. It's an epic finish. Katie, awesome to catch up with you once again. Thank you so much for joining me to Take Five.
Thanks for having me, Zan. I really appreciate it.
Some make it when they're young, before the world has done its dirty job. Later on, someone will say you've had your day. Now you must make way. But they'll never know the pain of living with a name you never owned, or the many years forgetting what you know too well. That the ones who gave the crown have been let down. You try to make amends without defending, perhaps pretending you never saw the eyes of grown men of 25 that follow as you walk and ask for autographs or kiss you on the cheek. And you never can believe they really loved you. Some make it when they're old. Perhaps they have a soul they're not afraid to bear. Or perhaps there's nothing there. Stars, they come and go. They come fast, they come slow. They go like the last light of the sun, all in a blaze. And all you see is glory. But most have seen it all. They live their lives in sad cafes and music halls. They always have a story.
A perfect song and some 2020 vision from Katie Steele. Such a treat to peek into those formative years and to be taken into the fertile WA scene back in the day. If you are feeling the waves of nostalgia, pass this episode along to a mate. And next time, a very special Take 5 with an icon in the art of the interview.
I wanna spill the blood of a hippie.
For 20 years, Richard Feidler has been hosting Conversations on ABC Radio. But next time, we're flipping it as Richard takes 5 with you.
Not love, that's what the world is now.
From Doug Anthony All-Stars to Race Around the World to his own global adventures, Richard Feidler is taking you on a ride through his story. That's next time.
Looking for more tunes to get you through the day?
Sim, sim, more.
Swipe over to Double J in the Triple J app. You'll get heaps of Aussie music, the best new releases, and a bunch of songs you grew up listening to. Plus, your fave radio mates are there, like Dylan Lewis, Zanro, and Kaz Tran. Come and hang out with Double J on the Triple J app or your digital radio.